bone broth is often doubted, often regarded as a superfood, an ancient food dating back to earliest human history. Bone broth is liquid made from boiling animal bones and connective tissue. Christchurch local Alex Watson, has taken his love of bone broth from humble beginnings, selling it at his local farmer's market, to supermarket shelves beside some of the world's biggest food producers. Alex Watson's the founder of Little Bone Broth Co. He's with us in the Christchurch studio. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Catherine. How are you?
Good, thanks. It goes back to the very earliest days in some ways, doesn't it?
It sure does. You put it well. It's the world's oldest superfood.
Superfood, though? You've got to convince me on this. Every second thing's a superfood these days, and then we're told nothing's a superfood. Come on, what's so wonderful about it?
Look, I tell my my customers at the farmer's market that I'm 76, and sometimes I get a few people who kind of half believe me. But look, it is very, very good for you. It's full of nutrients. It's full of collagen. It's great for your hair, your teeth. It's great for your gut. Gut health is super important. So we're going to claim it as a superfood for sure.
All right. What are the sort of nutrients in it that make the case for it? Or is it also a case of what's not in it?
Absolutely. So ours is super simple. So we definitely have no preservatives, no additives. We boil it for up to 3 days or simmer it really, really slowly. And it just gives the chance for the bones and the few vegetables that we have in there to release all the goodness, all the collagen, all the nutrients. They come out nice and slowly. And our finished product is it's really good to taste. But there's very much, it's a very simple, simple product that is super good for you.
That issue of how long you boil it or simmer it for is the difference between it and stock, is it? Is there any difference between it and stock?
No, that's absolutely right. So to make a stock, maybe a couple of hours of simmering away, and you can bring out some flavour. But the difference between the stock and a bone broth is the amount of time we cook it for. The essential ingredient for us really is the time. Like I say, we give it up to 3 days, and that just takes it from, yeah, a flavourful sort of stock all the way up to a bone broth.
What does it do? Does it basically melt everything?
It doesn't quite melt it. We simmer it very, very slowly, and we have huge pots. And so by the end of it, the bones look like they've been, I don't know, soaked for a long time, but they're still in good tact because the process is so very slow. So just like I say, just gives the opportunity for everything to come out, so almost from the inside out.
There's some products that actually have almost a jelly-like texture to them. Is yours quite liquid?
Ours is quite liquid for sure, yeah. It comes down to the amount of water to bone ratio that you have when you're making the product. When I first started making it at home, essentially making it in a crock pot on the bench, and I had very little water to bone ratio, and so the product that I was getting at the end, and to be fair, it was horrible, was very jelly-like. It wasn't that great. And there's lots of different ways of making bone broth or the finished product that you're looking to finish up with. And we've sort of settled on the liquid form. You know, early days we were kind of trying to find our identity and really how our product would sit on the shelf. And the liquid form is where we've settled on, so that a lot of people can use it like a stock or relate to it like a stock. I think a very jelly-like broth can almost be a little bit confronting for sort of everyday shoppers or everyday users. And so what we've managed to do is go down the track of sticking with the liquid form in a pouch that's presentable and affordable, and we've got people using it almost every day, and that's where we're sort of having those wins.
Some people actually drink it.
So we've been so busy this summer, busier than we were in the middle of winter last year, and we know that it's been a good summer, it's been hot. I don't think people have been making soups and casseroles all summer, so people are definitely drinking it. That's how I started with it. I was using it as a health product. And drinking it straight is really, really good. And we were very much a niche product when we were targeting an audience of people who were keen to drink bone broth on its own as a health tonic, and that was great. But being able to broaden it out and get people to approach in a sort of a different way and use it as an everyday cooking product. That's where we've found our volume. So we've certainly still got people who are drinking it. Like I say, we were super busy all summer, which is great. But really, where we find we're especially excited is that people are using it for cooking and for their family food on an everyday basis.
What are the nutritional, what's the nutritional makeup that people argue is so positive?
So it's pretty light in terms of carbohydrates. It's hydrating, but it's, depending on the, we do a chicken and a beef, the chicken's the most popular, the beef would be the second. The protein levels are reasonably low, so it's not sort of a, if you were, you know, a big gym goer or something, it's not like you would use it as in terms of a protein shake or something like that. But really it is a supplement because it's incredibly good for you in terms of your, for one example, your gut health. So we know that the keto diet's pretty popular at the moment. And the keto diet can be very high in acid, can be quite acidic, and it really can attack the lining of the gut. Now with our bone broth, because it's not what you'd describe as fatty, but it's certainly rich and full of all those sort of, yeah, it's a very rich product. And so when you drink it, it actually does line the inside of your gut and just gives that protection so that if you are on a keto diet or even a slightly unhealthy diet, let's say, bone broth's a really good way of mitigating that because it will line the gut and just give you that extra protection and stop, the likes of leaky gut syndrome and stuff like that.
It's also, as we said, what's not in it. And so what do you add? Because you've got different flavours here. You've got green Thai curry broth. I can never remember which way round it is. Chicken and others as well. What are you adding in to get different flavours?
So really it just starts with the bones. Our beef and chicken are our two most popular. So all we do is we start off with either beef or chicken bones and we add onions, carrots, and that's it. That's all we do. We roast them to bring up the levels of colour and flavour, but it's literally that simple. Add in our water and then right at the end we put pink Himalayan salt to give it some taste and then apple cider vinegar as well.
What about preservation? How long will it last in these little pouches?
Yeah, so when we started off, we started in jars and then we moved a couple of years ago into the pouches. And the pouches is what has given us our shelf stability. So they form an oxygen barrier. So when we fill the pouches, cap on straight away and into the fridge, when they come out, they're shelf stable because of the oxygen barrier, but also really importantly because of the apple cider vinegar, because it brings the pH level right down, and also the salt is a natural preservative. So we've actually got a year shelf life on the products without adding any additives, which is pretty unique.
You began with the farmers markets. Moving into the supermarkets is a big call. They are tough and demanding operators for shelf space. And
yes.
What's been the sort of the building of the business that got you to that point?
It happened reasonably quickly to start with. We started at the farmers market March 2018, so pretty much bang on 6 years ago. And then by October that same year, we actually had the jars on the shelves, which was incredibly quick. And it sort of went from 0 to 100 overnight. And I did feel the pressure of worrying that we weren't going to be able to keep up with demand. And this is right at the start of my sort of business journey. I was constantly worried we're not going to be able to keep up with demand. We were with Foodstuffs. I thought I'm going to let them down and I won't be able to supply and they're going to drop us. Now, getting onto the shelves was a huge win, but as I know now, it was really only the beginning of the journey because being on the supermarket shelves, as you say, it's premium real estate, and we did really well to get there, but then it was about how we had to market it and move forward and get people buying it. And it was ticking along okay in the jars, but it was more of a sort of a luxury product. It was in the chiller. We had a lot of people who would go to the supermarket to look for our broths and then message us on social media saying, I can't find your broths anywhere. And we'd say, did you look in the chiller? And they say, oh, the chiller? No, I was looking in the stock section. So it was definitely hampering sales a little bit. But we grew and then we got to a point with the jars where we were almost at a bit of a ceiling. We were selling well, but we weren't growing at all. And that was sort of 2.5 years ago. And to be fair, foodstuffs have always been fantastic to me. I've really, really enjoyed working with them. But I knew we had to pivot. And so we came up with this idea of putting it into the pouch, working on the recipe to bring the pH levels down and getting it shelf stable. And by doing that, we brought the price of the product down. So a lot of bone broths are quite expensive. It is a luxury product, and it's not something that people are going to put in their supermarket trolley a couple of times a week. We brought the price of the broth down by reducing the packaging price, also the need for the chilled freight. That was a huge factor in the price of our product. And so we got it onto the shelves and we brought the price down, and all of a sudden people started using it a little bit like a stock, which is great because it's a really good additive-free product. And that was the turning point for us. It really started to move. And then the North Island sort of opened up again because it almost had to write the North Island off in terms of freighting, chilled freight out there was just getting too expensive. So it was at that point about 2.5 years ago that we just saw the volume start to be fair, go through the roof. We grew 287% in 12 months at Foodstuffs.
That's brilliant. So, yes, it is a bone broth, but actually a lot of people are using it as a stock.
And you know, yeah, absolutely.
And why not? And I thought, are you looking at introducing one for pets as well?
Yes, we have. Yeah, we've always had a lot of people using the broths for their pets. And we've always said, look, water it down because it does have onions and it does have salt. So late last year, we brought out what we call a meal topper. So it's a specific beef bone broth for dogs and cats. And we've just used the same recipe. We've taken out the onions, we've taken out the salt. So it's human grade. And that's just starting to go onto shelves, supermarket shelves in the South Island at the moment. And people just love it. We're super stoked with the way the packaging looks. And yeah, feedback's been great.
Super quickly, would you do a fishbone broth?
Look, I wouldn't. I really like the idea of a fish stock, but I think cooking fish bones for that length of time, I don't think you're going to get the same results. And I just think that the beef and the chicken are our heroes, and that's what most people know how to cook with.
And so, is bone broth similar to the beef tea my grandmother used to make? This person
absolutely
says.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing.
And beef tea is for drinking.
Yes.
Thank you. Go well. Alex Watson, a Little Bone Broth Company.